Lord, I'm asking tonight for a creative miracle on bodies. I'm asking that souls will be healed, that mind, wills, and emotions will be healed. I'm asking you, Lord God, to remove every blockage, everything that blocks somebody from the truth. I bind up every demonic thing. I cast down every lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, have your way in this night. Have your way. I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud. Okay, say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I need you.
I need your word.
I ask you
to
speak to my heart
and
change my life.
Give me ears to hear
what the Spirit is saying
and
a heart to receive.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
So
I thought, well, what can we do about Valentine's? You know, some of us have the perfect husband. I'm married to Jesus. And been married for over 50 years to Jesus. But so let's talk about love. Let's talk about what it really is. Let's talk about how you find love. In 1993, Tina Turner had a song.
What's love
got to do?
Got to do with it.
Okay. And you know that I pulled that song up, and I was actually, because we can all quote that one line, right? What's love but a secondhand emotion, you know? And the woman was sitting there, what, 67 years old with unbelievably cut legs and big hair. But do you know that Tina Turner wore the big hair because it was a wig? And do you know why she wore a wig? She wore a wig because she lost all her hair. Because she had been so badly abused. She had been so badly beaten by Ike Turner. Okay, they had been married from, I wrote it down, from 1962 and divorced in 1978 when she escaped. And she revitalized her career. And in 1993, I think she kind of did her anthem. And her anthem was, What's Love Got to Do With It? Okay, and she talked about attraction and a secondhand emotion, but it wasn't love. Here was a woman that love to her was this man that she had been in business with in music, had gotten so horribly badly abused by this person. So how does she know what love is? How does she know what real love is? There's nobody in this room that is in some way or somewhere not been abused, not been rejected, not been torn apart, not been traumatized, not been made to feel bad about themselves. Can I tell you that's not love?
Amen.
That's not love. But what happens is we sit here and we think love is what we get from people. And I will tell you, and I'll share a little more of my story in a few minutes, but real love doesn't come from people. That's faulty.
Amen.
That's faulty love. Real love comes from God. It's the only love you can get. It's the only real love. I love Philippians 1:9. It says, and I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. In 1993, at Faith Assembly of God, there was a prophet, and he came and he ministered, and he would go around back in the day, right, Marlene? Everybody would line up, and the prophets would come down the line, and they would prophesy. And the prophet got in front of me, and he looked at me, and he said, "You're a scrapper." I was like, "Oh, busted." He said, "You get backed into a corner and you will fight." And I will tell you, it's still kind of true today. But it is. He said, "But you have no idea how much God loves you. And it's going to take a revelation of that love for you to get it." And I'll tell you that I've spent 50 years in the Lord, and I'm ashamed to say it's taken almost that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken almost that long for me to get that he absolutely, positively, completely loves me.
Amen.
Yes.
It took almost 50 years of being in the Lord to finally get it. But I will tell you, and I'll share more in a few minutes, I will tell you it absolutely transformed my life. So I've spent 50 years in ministry. I started at 12 years old. I was called into ministry. I was preaching and teaching by 12 years old. I knew I was called. I've served in every capacity in a church, from janitor to senior pastor, everything in between. But never fully grasping that the one I was serving absolutely loved me. Absolutely. So I lived my life with insecurities. I lived my life with so much rejection, so much being affected by how people treated me and how that unbelievably skewed my brain and my thinking that I really wasn't loved, that I thought I could earn God's love. I had to work hard to earn his love. I had to do everything I could to earn it. Now, why? Because I had a dad who I was child number three. I wasn't an oops, but I was a honey, guess what? Okay. My parents had adopted two children. My mother and father could not conceive a baby. And my mother had miscarried three times. So when they were in the Middle East, in Morocco, they went over to Athens, Greece, and they adopted two children, a boy and a girl. My father had his golden child. He had his boy, and he had his girl. So when Becky came along, it was like, what are we doing this? But here was the thing. I was my mother's Samuel. My mother cried out to God that if God would give her a child, she would dedicate that child to the Lord. I was her Samuel. So on all the time in my life that my father rejected me, I will tell you that the last conversation I ever had with my father, he was at a rehab center. He kept having TIAs. He kept having the little, is that right, TIA? He kept having little strokes. He had fallen and hit his head. He was 88 years old. He had fallen and hit his head. And so he began to have these little mini strokes. So he was in a rehab. And he would call me on the phone every once in a while. We would talk every once in a while. My father and I were very estranged from one another. And we would talk. And the last conversation I ever had with my father, I said, Dad, I love you. And he said, thank you. That was his response. But my mother, on the other hand, was the greatest blessing of my life because she loved me unconditionally. She loved me completely. My mother was so grateful to have me that there was never a moment that I doubted my mother loved me. And so I was really, really grateful for that. Because I had a dad when I was chosen in 1978 for All-American Band, my father's response was, well, I guess we'll have to sell your car so you can pay to go. No congratulations, no way to go, nothing. So this is why this sent me into a life of rejection, from cycle to cycle to cycle of rejection, and just a sensitivity to how do I make people love me? And then I'm me. I am loud.
What?
I am shocking.
You're not.
Come on down.
You're so quiet.
I am bold. I am brash. I am goofy as all get out. I was like, oh my gosh. But I spent my whole life, people, believe this or not, trying to calm me down. My father did not know what to make of me and what to do. My mother thought I was great, man. She was loving it. You know, she was very grateful I wasn't a twin. Okay? But I was full of energy and full of joy. And the Lord told me something when I was pastoring the church in Havana. And the Lord told me I was seeking the Lord. And he said, I gave your father a gift and he never got it. And I said, what was that gift, Lord? And he said, you. He said, how much fun are you? He said, you're a good kid. You never did a bunch of stuff. He said, you love the Lord. You love me. You live for me. How much, you know, you were a decent student. You did. You were so much fun. He never got the gift that I literally gave him. So I learned a lot of things, and I learned it through the inner healing that I studied in college to be able to minister a road to freedom. I learned a lot of things. My father didn't come to my birth. He didn't come to my birth. My mother was there alone. He sent a sergeant to be in the hallway. He didn't come to my birth. But one day the Lord took me back to my birth. And I'm back there at my birth, and I'm seeing the scene. I'm seeing the scene. In the spirit, he's taking me back to my birth. And there's my mother in labor, and standing on the by the bed next to my mother is Jesus. And he's waiting. And my mother has me. And the nurse and the doctor has me. And Jesus stands there next to my mother and goes, she's here! Yes! And I realized when the Lord took me back to that, it didn't matter that my father didn't care. My father cared.
Right. There you go.
So I want you to know, and you know, and as I walk through this, and it's why it burns so much in me. It really, really does. It's why there is a desperation in me that, you know, I'm goofy as all get out, but I'm also intense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You may have picked that up.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Why? Because I'm desperate to get the truth to you. There is something in me that burns that I must get the truth to you. Because, see, I've been there. I've been that rejected one. I've been that little tomboy that everybody went, oh, she's cute, but Lord, you know, I've been the one that they've tried to, you know, I'm so grateful, and I won't talk about Kim or anything, but I'm grateful for friends that accept me as I am. I really am. You know how many friends I've had to try to dress me and do makeovers and try to make me something that I'm just not? I mean, we should go get your makeup done, and we should do this, and we should shoot that. Now, I am grateful because Kim does show up with clothes. Because she does show up, just wear that, okay? Like, I'll be preaching, praise God, in Louisiana next month, and I will ask her, please come over and pick out what I should wear, okay? Because I will show up. I did do it good tonight. Normally, I'm in sweats. I live in sweats. I love them. Sweats and T-shirts. I'm comfy. I'm comfy. That's me. You get over a certain age, you don't got care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, don't. You get over a certain weight, you don't got care no more. Okay. But it's all these things that I'm going to tell you what happens is it piles on. And in our brains, we get this thing that says what people did to us, how people treated us, what people thought of us, must be how God is. Mm-hmm. I was looking today in the book of Job, and in the book of Job, it's amazing because in the first chapter in the book of Job, you see how good Job's life is, mm-hmm. and then he loses it all. Mm-hmm. And so, for the next 30 some chapters, and Dr. Dez will have to tell us how many it is because I didn't count. His friends and him gripe and complain and try to figure out God. Mm-hmm. Okay, they do for over 30 chapters. Trying to skin, why is God did this and why did this happen and why is this and this is, and they're figuring out how God is because of what happened to him. But finally, and I love it, in chapter 38 of Job, God says to Job, like, basically, I'm gonna do a Becky fight, okay? A Becky version, okay? God says, that's enough. Okay, you know so much, you go ahead and you tell me. You know what it says? Beginning of 38. You know so much, you go ahead and you instruct me. It's what God says. I mean, God, like, busts him back. And that's what we do, ladies. We sit there and we try to figure out, by everything that's happened to us, by everything we've walked through, this must be how God is. But I'm going to tell you, it's not. He is all good. He is all love. Okay? He is all merciful. I had, you know, you can imagine what my days were like when we're getting ready to do this. And I'm going to just be honest, all hell broke loose against me today. But I'd had time with the Lord this morning. And I had a conclusion. I said, Lord, you're God. See, I'm either going to believe he's God or I'm not. I'm either going to believe everything he says is real and true, or I'm not. Can I tell you, God's not schizophrenic?
Not at all.
Okay, he's not schizophrenic. He's not flaky.
Right.
His love is absolutely life transforming.
Yeah.
It's life transforming because at any moment, at any time, he told me recently, he said, you look at yourself in the past and you see yourself in the past, and you think, you were so bad then, so I must have loved you less. He said, I loved you just as much then as I love you now. Do you understand that, ladies? Do you understand that there is no point, no time that God loves you any less? I mean, even at your worst, suckiest moment, when you are, you know, is anybody else besides me like scrapper? I mean, don't back me in a corner. Come on. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what. And I recently had a leader tell me, said, Becky, you scare me when you get back in the corner. You know, I'm like, God. He's like, oh, I'll follow you. You know what I did? Can I just tell you honestly? I gave up on it. I get frightened. I had a phone call today. Situation that I've been walking through for over 6 months, the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it's a legal matter, and it's somebody coming after me, it's complete stupidity. And I will tell you, I had the situation, and in one day, you know how you get? You forget that God loves you. Fear, no fear. In fear, love is not perfected when you have fear. It's gone. So I'm sitting there, so this day, Lord told me to make two calls. First call, Desiree. So call Desiree. So I called Desiree. I said, Desiree, I gotta tell you what's going on. She told me, bam, 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 bam. This is bogus. That. Desiree told me, bam, bam, bam. Straight from the Lord. It's bogus. Bam, that. This is no case. They have nothing they can do against you. Becky, forget about it. Let go of the fear of God. Within an hour of that, I called a lawyer friend of mine. Told me almost word for word what she said. Almost word for word. I call up Desiree or text Desiree, and I said, this is what the lawyer said. Desiree, in the most loving, wonderful way, said, I told you something. I said, listen, you got to get with him and learn how to say that without saying it. Because it happens a lot. It happens a lot. You know, I get told I told you so a lot. I have finally gotten, when I was sitting there today, after the phone call, and I was talking to my wonderful brother, Pastor Brett, and I said, you know what? I said, I've just come to a place. God absolutely loves me. Amen. And he's going to take care of me. And it doesn't matter what somebody does or doesn't do or tries to come after me or tries to do this or tries to do that. God's got it. God's got it. I texted Kim, and Kim's response to me was, touch not the Lord's anointed, do his prophets no harm. And I went, oh, okay. You know, listen, God's got you. He's got you, and he absolutely loves you, and it doesn't matter what anybody ever says about you. Listen, how many of y'all in this room have ever been rejected? Yeah, everyone, everyone. And how did it make you feel? It makes you feel like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? I had a college friend tell me, Christian friend tell me, I don't love you and I don't see anything in you to love. This was in 1985. Now, can I tell you something? That messed me up. Satan will use people to convince you. Hear what I'm about to say to you. Satan will use people to convince you absolute lies from the pit of hell. Amen. There is no point, no way, no how God ever doesn't love you. It's complete. All love comes from God. All love comes from God. There's no love void of God. God is there. God is love. Do you know there's no love in hell? Because no God in hell.
That's right.
Right? So what I wanted to do, I've told a little of my story, is I've asked Brittany to give me three humble house ladies, and they're going to answer two questions. Whoever's first, they're going to answer two questions for me. Who's up first? Come on, baby.
Just because I'm mad at you right now, you just took one of my answers.
Oh, yeah. All right, so she's going to answer two questions. Now watch how the love of God. What did you think the love of God was, or love was? Sorry. What did you think love was prior to getting saved and set free?
Materialistic and temporary. It was definitely not. Okay, ask the second question
is, then after you came to Christ, what did you figure out love was?
So one of my answers was God is love, but Miss Becky just took that a minute ago. And then it was steadfast, everlasting, unconditional, forgiving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you took one of mine.
Not my paper, girl.
Good job. Okay, the same question. What did you think prior to coming to Christ? What did you think? Come on, we're gonna get it. What did you think the love of God was prior to Jesus?
Self-destruction, manipulation.
Wow. Okay, so you went through a lot of stuff when you were
a lot of abuse.
Yeah. And so after you came to Christ and you came to Humble House and God started working on you, what did you find out love was?
Love is patient, it's kind. It is forgiven. It is faithful. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you found out a whole new ball game.
Wow.
Whole new ball game. Okay. Good job. Okay, here's my third one. Come on, Stephanie. How many of y'all glad to see Stephanie back?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Glad to be back.
Yeah. All right. So Stephanie, prior to coming to the Lord, what did you think love was?
Love was full of drama and chaos for me. Like, it was more like I had to get attention by pushing people's buttons. Mm-hmm. You know? So that was chaos.
Mm-hmm. So what was it now once you came to Christ?
It's relentless.
Very good.
It's relentless. It's merciful.
Wow.
It's for me. And I see it through everybody.
You see the difference? Listen, the enemy, he wants to convince you of the biggest lie. The biggest lie that he uses is that you're not loved.
Yeah.
I found out that fear can't have a place in me. Fear can't attack me. All the things that I went through today, all this drama with this big legal thing, I didn't even flinch today. Because I said, Daddy, you love me. You will provide for everything. You will fix every hurt. You will solve every problem. He's not sitting there going, let me make you earn your way. And yeah, I'll solve the problems for Sarah, but I'm not going to solve it for Becky. Mm-hmm. No. I was talking to, I was out to dinner the other night with a little girl I'm mentoring, and I said, do you understand? I said, how many people do you think are in this restaurant? And God forgive us, we were eating wings. And I said, how many people do you think in this restaurant? She said, you know, maybe 50. I said, how many does God see? She looked at me. I said, he sees one.
Yeah.
God is so unbelievable the way he can look at one person completely,
yeah,
full focused,
mm-hmm,
and see the other one, mm-hmm, fully focused. Never having it, you know, if you ever, like, I'm like, squirrel.
Okay.
And I always sit there and I'll be talking to people and I'm busy, I'm talking to Des and we're trying to take care of something or we're doing something, and then I see somebody else come in. Okay. God can focus on each and every person. The amazing thing is, and I wish I could get this concept over to people, you were planned. You were planned.
Mm-hmm.
From the foundation of the earth, before he made it, you were planned. You were the plan. I remember having this conversation with God one day, and if you think I'm scattered with y'all, God has seen me just praying. It's like, what? And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I said, I'm like all over the place. And he's like, don't you think I made your brain? He said, don't you think I know what you're like? He said, I made you that way. You know, for some people I'm aggravating because I'm squirrel, you know, but I can go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing in a heartbeat. I was made and created this way. You are made and created the way you are. It's on purpose. Yet what do? Because somebody rejected us or somebody didn't love us unconditionally, which is the only love there is, real love. It was flaky instead of agape love, which is unconditional. They got an eros love, which is like, you know, Tina Turner, just all about the feelings and the attraction. And somebody convinced you you weren't loved. Somewhere in your brain, those lies sunk in. They sunk in. And you thought, what's wrong with me? Now listen, we're real. We all got our stuff. And see, and that's the next thing that the enemy does, is he makes us sit there and compare ourselves. He does. He makes us compete with one another. And we're bad at it as women. We really are. We're bad. I mean, we like, you know, for a while I was like, okay, I had a theory. I have dangerous theories. I said, if I'm going to be a skinny woman, I got to eat like a skinny woman. So I started watching what skinny women eat. And I went, oh, I ain't going there. I'll keep the tubby, okay?
Whatever you thought is not true.
It's like, not happening, okay? We compare with one another, but do you understand in the trillions upon trillions of people that were ever created, there's only been one you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God we serve.
Mm-hmm.
Who completely, wonderfully, beautifully, uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting to you yet? Or do we need to stay all night?
All night.
Okay. Do you hear me? Listen, 50 years in the Lord. For God to convince me. I absolutely love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not changing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving up on it. I'm not shifting it. It's not conditional. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows every stupid thing I will do.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, okay? You can ask my friends, okay? It's a lot. But he's like, I love you as you are. And then when you surrender and you yield and you die to self, you get to be all he created you to be. I tell him, listen, nothing's off limits, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's off limits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's off limits. If there's stuff in me that really isn't of you, and it's because of things I've walked through, things I've experienced, wrong thinking, lies of the enemy, whatever, take that out.
That's good.
Take it up. Take it up. Take it up. And I'm still loud. I've been praying this for forever and I'm still loud, so it must be okay. And my brain still works like this, must be okay. But there's a lot of other junk he's taken out. He's taken the anger. He's taken the root of rejection out. When I had that vision, and then I went to another RTF called Restoring the Foundations. The woman that was leading me through Restoring the Foundations, she says, I see you in the room that you're born in, and there's a demon of rejection sitting in this room, and there's been an assignment on your life for people to reject you, and it started with your dad. And in that moment in the spirit, I threw it out the window. You don't get to control me anymore, because the one that is most important does not reject me.
Amen.
And he doesn't reject you. I don't care what one other person, listen, some of you have been divorced, some of you have been broke up with, some of you have been abused, some of you have been abandoned. He never does.
Yeah.
He never does. And what I want to do, and y'all going to have to help us out. Come on, Brandy. I'm going to play a song, and while I'm doing, the Humble House girls are going to get ready for something. You're going to have to vibe with the tech challenge people here. But while they're going out, hold on a minute. Okay. Don't run out. Y'all stay right here. Okay, everybody else stay here. When I'm done, I want to play a song, okay? They're going out. They'll be back in a minute. There's something special we're going to do. But I want to play a song for you guys, okay? But listen to it, yeah. Y'all could just take a minute. I want you to listen to this song and watch the words, okay?
Who said it's wrong that you would not follow again? So many words, so many lies that have followed you all of your life. Looking for the truth, looking to your eyes, and I see it's been there the whole time. Thank you.
songs.
I got a very special presentation for you. We got to get the song set up, ready to go. That's
I've seen miracles mine can comprehend. There is beauty in the world. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you.
Love of God does, not religion,
yes.
Not trying to be good enough. That's what the love of God, you know what amazes me? Is this one. This is the director of Humble House, okay? Now, we were going to go ahead and put Kleenex on the table, but we knew it was
going
away, okay? But is that powerful? Do you get it?
Yeah.
Look what God does. First time I saw this, when a group of us went to their Christmas banquet, we all just cried like babies. But if he can do this for them, look what he's done for me. Okay? Most of you in this church know me and love me and think, Becky's just a wild one. But I'm transformed by the love of God.
We don't have a wild one.
Pictures, but most of us here,
it's the same thing,
have the same story.
Yeah, we do.
And we used to look one way, and now we look another way.
Yeah,
because he has filled our lives with what's real.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I've known Chrissy for over 30 years. I helped direct her wedding to Richard, so we walked a long time together, long time, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I've been transformed by the love of God.
Yeah.
I've been transformed. And I realize how patient he's been with me. To sit there and wait all these years to finally realize, wait a minute, he does love me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what an idea. I love these pictures. I love this. This tells a story, but I don't, Craig. Okay. It's okay.
Stand firm. Stand firm, and what you know right now, and what you're growing in, to stand firm in it. Don't give way to the enemy.
I believe this is the number one way that the enemy takes people out, is for them to think they're not loved. Because the love of God just changes everything. It changes how you face and see everything. It really, really does. Because help me with that scripture, Des. Love is not perfected in fear. Fear is not, the person who's in fear is not perfected. I'm not murdering it. So you're going to have to pull it out of that whole doctor theology thing and tell me what? Thank you. Okay. It's late. My pill is worn off. Okay. Take a little brain supplement in the morning. It's worn out. So, anybody else want to share something? I love this. Such a show, right, Emily?
You look so beautiful.
Isn't it amazing?
You just see such a glow in you. It's just the power of God. Like, just to see your like, these are stories, these are testimonies, these are milestones of what Christ can do. There's nothing that he can't reach. There's no woman that he can't touch. And y'all remind me of the harlot in the Bible, who the Pharisees came and they wanted to basically kill her, you know. They're like, oh, let's throw stones at her and kill her. And they were challenging Jesus to, you know, basically have her stoned. And he said, he who has not sinned cast the first stone. And I really believe in that time that he embraced the woman. Like, that was not culturally accepted back then. I really believe he embraced that woman. He said, go and sin no more. And I feel like you ladies are all that represent that woman that Jesus said to not cast the stone on. You know?
I like to say something.
Go ahead, Ms.
I just want y'all to remember, when the enemy comes after you, you tell him, that's who I was.
Yeah.
That ain't who I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, as I look at your picture, I see myself, because that's how I looked. I was in my 40s when I got saved. Mm-hmm. And one day I looked in the mirror and it was like, Lord, have mercy. I mean, it was like a child.
Tell me about it. And I thought I was looking good.
I know I'm kind of old now, but I could look and I could see, like, it was like years fell off.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but God. The love.
Yeah.
But don't let the enemy tell you and remind you. Mm-hmm. Just tell him, no, that's who I was.
Yeah.
That's not who I am.
One of my favorite stories in the Bible is, and I believe it was Mary Magdalene, was broke into a Pharisee's house while Jesus was having dinner, mm-hmm. and fell at his feet, mm-hmm. and literally washed his feet with her tears, mm-hmm. and wiped his feet with her hair, and kissed his feet over and over. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees were, and I say this to all the women, the Pharisees were very, they didn't like it. How dare you? Why would you do this?
Most expensive perfume.
And it was most expensive perfume. And she poured out everything on Jesus. And he told the parable and he said, you know, the person, basically the person that's forgiven little loves little. But the one that's forgiven much loves much. I love much. Okay? But that woman was the first person to see Jesus resurrected. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of the disciples. It wasn't one of the men. They were hiding in the house, okay? It was that woman that saw Jesus first. Mm-hmm. She got to be the first one. He counts your love over anything else. And if you can just fall in love with Jesus, and I say this to every woman, let it go. Let go of the lies. Rebuke the lies. I was driving down the road this morning and I was rebuking the lies. I said, I rebuke every lie ever spoken to me in Jesus' name. I rebuke it. In fact, what I want us to do is, if y'all want to go ahead and get a few seats, I want us to do some declarations. I challenged anybody that speaks this year, we're gonna make sure that we solidify whatever we're doing. That's a theme. And Leanne's going to start to pass out. We've got pens for each of you. We always want to have some sort of memory, something for you to remember the night by. Leanne's going to pass out these pens. They're heart pens with a cross in it. Okay? But I just want to, let's just take a few minutes and see where the Lord goes, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and you died for us, and that if we were the only person ever born, you still have done it. Lord, that we meant so much to you that you would come here among imperfect people and you gave your life for us, Lord, and we thank you for it. I just feel like right now some of y'all just need to have a moment with the Lord and say, Lord, I just surrender everything. I just give you everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. I give you everything because, Lord, you died for everything. You didn't die for perfect people. You died for an imperfect people. Lord, in you only are we made perfect. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I ask you to release grace. Lord, I ask for a revelation of your grace to come upon these ladies right now in the name of Jesus. And I cancel every lie. I bind up a spirit of rejection and I tell it to leave now in Jesus' name. For we are blood bought, accepted in the beloved in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Jesus. If it wasn't for you, none of us would be here. None of us, Lord, are better than anybody else. We're all saved by grace. It doesn't matter our skill set, our giftings, none of that matters. What matters is your grace. For by grace, we are saved. For all have sinned and fallen short. Father, I ask you tonight, like the ladies are already speaking, over every Humble House woman here, over all the Lifeway women and all the Generation Church women and every person here, Lord, that you will solidify. And like it took me so many years, Lord, to get the revelation, I'm asking tonight, for the revelation of your love, that they are absolutely positively loved. And Lord, every hair on their head is numbered. You know it. You know when they wake up, you know when they go to sleep. You are there at every moment, at every turn, and you love them completely at all times. There is never a moment that they are forsaken, never a moment when they are not perfectly loved. Lord, I'm asking you to transfer. Lord, I just feel like right now there's some hearts that need to be healed, Father. Put your hands on your hearts, okay? Father, I'm praying for broken hearts right now, Lord God. I'm praying for a healing in broken hearts right now. Those places, those scars where they've been rejected, where they've been told lies, where they're told they're not pretty, they've been told they're ugly, they've been told bad things, they're not worth loving. Lord, I ask for healing of those hearts right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life. Lord, we remove every bit of rejection. We remove every bit of perfectionism that says, if I can just be perfect, I'll be loved. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to bring revelation to that they are absolutely perfectly loved now. Father, that they are in you, not because of how good they are, but because of how good you are. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Let us all be like Mary. that fell at your feet and kissed your feet and washed your feet, Lord God. May we keep our face at you, bow down before you, thanking you that in every day you saved us. You saved us. You saved some of us from a pit of hell. You saved some of us from certain death. If it wasn't for you. Lord, I know that a day will come when every one of us will stand before you. And we will know and we will have a revelation that maybe we never got on this earth. But Lord, I'm asking for it on this earth. That we will know the love of God. That we will know the love of God. Father, I pray over these women right now. Ephesians 3. That they would know the height, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love of Christ. And that they will be filled to all the fullness of God. Yes. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to say anything or share anything? Des, come on.
Basically, when all of you were standing up here, and this isn't just for the Humble House women, but this is for all of us, that I want us to say, this is like a physical demonstration of where you were in sin, and how, you know, to some, when you were in that condition, and we were out there doing what we were big and bad enough to do, because trust me, if you knew my life story, you would be like, what, you? But when we are out there, sin clouds us from hearing God, from seeing God. And so we think, oh, we're the thing. I mean, you couldn't tell me nothing, because I was like, we all in here. I was like, I know I got the good stuff. I make them. I'm just saying. But when we come into God, he gives us a new life, a new perspective. And he wants us to know that the situation, the condition that we was in at that time, it wasn't pretty, but we thought it was. Mm-hmm. But it was just like when you turn over an apple and you get that rotten part, and it was just like that. But all we saw was the nice, pretty part. But what he was saying is that the fact that because now we are in him, now we can really be the bride of Christ.
That's good.
We can really be who we are. And you know, just how a bride gets adorned and gets dressed up. We have to see ourselves that way, because we are the bride of Christ. And the pictures that you saw, it's like I challenge you. 2 years, 3 years, whatever, take another picture from where you are right now. And you'll see the progression, because God says everything that he has placed on the inside of us, if you are willing and ready, he will unlock it and he will begin to work in and through you and move you to new and higher levels. And what you look like now, or you don't look like what you've been through, and what you're going through right now, you're not going to look like in a few years or however long it takes. Because God has something for each and every one of you to do. There's some singers in here. There's some authors in here. There's some business owners in here. And God wants us to step up and take your place and be who he has called. He wants to unlock everything that has been on the inside of you and give birth. Have you give birth into what he has given you. Tap into what is on the inside of you, because God has great things in store for each and every one of us. And what I'm hearing him say is like, don't think you're too old. Don't think you're too feeble. Don't think you're too young. Don't think you're too poor. But whatever it is, we need to trust him and step out on him and believe that he is getting ready to do it for us. Because see, the what has been holding us back for the longest is the fear. Oh, not me. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. And God said, you are who you are because I made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And because of that, you can embrace it. And when you begin to embrace it, then you can step forward in who God has called you to be and be that mighty warrior and not even care about what everybody else says.
Right.
It doesn't matter about your past, because we all have past.
Oh. It doesn't matter about that. Jesus already knew that when he came, and he took all of that and nailed it on the cross just for you. Mm-hmm. So because of that, that's why we can step up in who he is in us and be all that he would have us to be.
Amen. Amen.
God will love Leslie. That's her gift. Leslie's like, it's 8:30, Becky. Just remember tonight, the offering basket's back there. You can give online. We are so thrilled, Brittany, that we had the funds. When we did the Women's Warrior Conference, we spent a lot of money. And we spent, I will tell you, we spent like $700-$800 or so out of our account. And you know, we got back exactly almost to the penny everything we spent in an offering.
God is good.
God is good. We have loved being a part of Humble House. We feel a part of Humble House. I want you to know it was across the board to do this. We are so excited to get to sponsor a bedroom, to sponsor a room, and to be part of this. We really are, ladies. We're so glad to be part of this. And so don't forget to take your sign home. But we just want to, they're moving tomorrow, guys. So be in prayer for them. They're moving into they're moving into the transition home. Please give to it. We basically about emptied our account to do it, but we wanted to do it. We were like, do it. We wanted to give. You can give online at lifewaycc.com. You can write a check, just put Ladies of Lifeway in a note, okay? You can give cash. But we're so glad to get to do this. I'm so thrilled. I know that you have some other rooms that got sponsored by other churches, right?
Yeah, we have one more left to sponsor. It's kind of been piece parted together, which is fine, but we did have another church as well. So.
And we knew this transition house is really, really important. It's really important. Because it's an opportunity for them to live independently, but not independently. It's kind of for the graduates, it's kind of like a halfway house type thing. It's vital. It really is. Because our ladies, don't fall. You know, don't ever give up. Don't walk away. Yeah. He's worth it all.
That's exactly what the enemy would love. Because when you graduate and Brittany's been through this with me looking for places, you don't even realize how much it costs. Yeah. And he would just love to see you crumble right there.
Yep.
And it'd be easy to do if you don't stay steadfast in the Lord.
Yep. You got to. And you have to depend on him. That's good. You know, I said recently, I said, I'm going to go from fiercely independent to fiercely dependent. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to be fiercely dependent on the Lord. You're really, really thank you for coming out tonight.
I just wanted to, you said thank you so much, and or I don't know, you said a lot of things about us and all that. But really, I'm the one that needs to be saying thank you. Thank you, guys, for being so faithful and pouring in and doing the little gifts and just making these nights so special. And not only that, but for adopting the room. And it's actually really exciting because the decor that I picked out, because I said, Becky, do you want me to shop for it? Do you have somebody else that wants to shop for it? And she's like, no, please shop for it. Y'all do the decorating. And that sign goes perfectly with the decor. It goes perfectly. So again, thank you guys so much for your giving and your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. So thank you so much. And if you don't know about Humble House and you're curious, I do have pamphlets up there.
Yeah.
If you want to grab one.
And you can be a monthly sponsor, you can be one time, you can be there's some of us that are more monthly sponsors, and you know, it's one of the greatest pleasures of my life to write that check. I'm gonna tell you every month. I know it's life's change. It means the world to me. So all right, thank you. Humble House, take the food home.